Gin suited Olivia perfectly. Legend declared it the drink of dejected, fallen women. Women like her. She was, according to a million outraged folk on social media, a truly wicked woman, and much of the time she tended to agree. But on good days, she tried to think of herself as someone who'd made some really bad choices and quite a few stupid mistakes. Either way, the gin helped. The cap on the new bottle gave a satisfying snap as she twisted it open. She poured for a slow count of four, added a splash of tonic water, then went back down the wide steps to the living area. Brian was on the sofa, curled into her favourite blanket, the one made from the fleece of sacred alpacas and woven by the light of a blue moon, or something like that. The one that cost stupid money, the one that could, for a moment, make her think she was cherished. If her silence was going to be bought, then she could allow herself a few luxuries. She told herself this every time she hit add to cart and check out now. She bent over and whispered in his ear, "Love you, Brian, but that's my seat." He lifted his head to give a sleepy mew, but didn't move, and she didn't have the heart to push him out. He deserved alpaca more than she did. The raggedy ears and missing eye showed his life had been tougher than hers. She had adopted him from a Hobart rescue centre 3 months ago, a week after her arrival in Tasmania, and they made a good pair, one flawed, emotionally battered 29-year-old and her fearless, slightly broken buddy, both of them unwanted. Having a companion had made her self-pity and loneliness slightly less crushing. She sat cross-legged next to him, pulling a cushion into her lap and took a long drink of her G&T. The house had come fully furnished and the modular L-shaped sofa was large and comfortable. The blanket and cushions were her own touches, as was the portable Bluetooth speaker through which a mellow mix of Sufjan Stevens and Nick Drake was playing. When Brian rolled onto his back, she pulled out her phone and snapped a few photos. The light was soft, the fire flickering in the background, his front paws reaching out. She uploaded the best shot to Brian's Instagram account with the comment, "Living the life," and a slew of hashtags, and scrolled for a few minutes through her carefully curated feed. Cats, cats, stationery, cats, journaling, beautiful hotels, cats. If she was going to get drunk, she needed to eat, to heat something up, especially since she now had options. For the past few days, her fridge and freezer had been empty. But the night before, as the last sheets of toilet paper had spun free from the roll, necessity had won. She had made the 45-minute trip to the nearest supermarket, entering the white fluorescent glare with her beanie pulled low and her eyes averted. Just another late-night shuffler doing their shop in a near-empty store. With the focus of a seasoned doomsday prepper, she'd catered for her hibernation, filling her trolley with frozen meals, the calorie-rich comfort kind. There were chips, dips, cheese, chocolate, tonic water, several bottles of gin, and the toilet paper. She sipped again and set the glass on the sublime mid-century coffee table, the one she didn't own, and nudged the small pile of mail. The yellow redirection stickers were a reminder to change her postal address. But what was the point? She didn't even know if she'd be staying here much longer, and none of this stuff was vital. Olivia flicked through the pile. The square, pink envelope was last. It was sweet, lolly pink, the pink of ballet tights and bubblegum and little girls' pencil cases. The handwritten address was partly visible under the printed yellow sticker, written in vivid red and embellished with swirls and flourishes. Her heart lurched, thudding hard and fast at the base of her throat. She'd erased her social media, changed her email address and her number, cut all association with her old life, and moved to the middle of nowhere in Tasmania, the arse end of Australia. She was hidden from the world, her life small and quiet. For months there had been nothing from Lena. No angry messages, no veiled threats, no strange, gushing recollection of their exploits. The silence had been serene and Olivia had relaxed a little, become complacent. She had begun to believe it had stopped, that her refusal to respond any further had finally sent a clear message. She'd been so stupid. Of course it wasn't over. It would never be over. Olivia dropped the letter back on the table and escaped to the huge window, still clutching her glass. Over the past hour, the view had become ominous, and in the descending darkness, Bruny Island hulked long and low on the horizon. The water of the D'Entrecasteaux Channel, normally sheltered and calm, was being swept into a wild dance by the brutish force of the wind. The sky was heavy with clouds. Not for the first time, she wished the room had curtains so she could close out the night and create a cocoon. Eloise, the landlady Olivia had yet to meet, must have deemed them unnecessary, happy to be high on the side of a hill without a neighbour or a road in sight. But Olivia knew better than to presume she was hidden. There was always someone watching. Just because you couldn't see them didn't mean they couldn't see you. She crossed to the floor lamp and switched it off, the room now lit only by firelight. Picking up the envelope, she moved to the glass-enclosed fireplace and rested a hand against the surrounding stacked stone wall. She hesitated. It wasn't the guilt that stopped her from throwing it on the flames. It was more a need to know, to peel back a bandage, to examine a wound and see if there was still a festering mess of infection. Because maybe, just maybe, Lena was making amends. Maybe the wound had healed. Olivia ripped it open. On the front of the card was a mouse, her arms full of brightly coloured flowers. "I miss you" in flowing cursive font beneath her feet. The letter was folded inside. "My dearest Ollie Indy, where are you? I'm finally free and breathing real air, and the first thing I wanted to do was to see you. I can't believe you sold the apartment I found for you. I'm hurt, disappointed, it's not okay. You put me in that place, took your hush money and ran away. You should be ashamed. We need to talk, don't you think, sweetie? Knowing how efficient you are, I'm confident this letter will reach you. What a pity I can't follow it to where you are hiding. I'll have to think of some other way. It can't be that hard. No one can truly disappear. Think of me, my dear friend. I'm going to find you because really you owe me and debts need to be paid. Don't you agree?"